An article by Ron Rollheiser, a very well-known spiritual director and spiritual writer. The article is Non-Discriminating Embrace That Still Speaks Its Truth. And this topic that he has picked is one that I think many of us find somewhat difficult to practice in reality. It deals with unconditional love. He writes, "Be compassionate as your Heavenly Father is compassionate. Jesus challenged us with those words, and there is more in them than first meets the eye. How is God compassionate?" Jesus defines this for us. God, he says, lets his sun shine on the bad as well as the good. God's love doesn't discriminate. It simply embraces everything. Like the sun, it doesn't shine selectively, shedding its warmth on the vegetables because they are good and refusing its warmth to the weeds because they are bad. It shines, and everything, irrespective of its condition, receives its warmth. That's a stunning truth. God loves us when we are good, and God loves us when we are bad. God loves the saints in heaven, and God loves the devils in hell equally. They just respond differently. The father of the prodigal son and the older brother loves both, one in his weakness and the other in his bitterness, and his embrace is not contingent upon their conversion. He loves them even inside their distance from him. And we are asked to love in the same way. How do we do that? First of all, it poses this question. If God loves us equally when we are bad and when we are good, then why be good? This is an interesting question, though not a deep one. Love understood properly is never a reward for being good. Instead, goodness is always a consequence of having been loved. That's a very beautiful phrase. Let's go back over that again. This is an interesting question, though not a deep one. Love understood properly is never a reward for being good. Instead, goodness is always a consequence of having been loved. We aren't loved because we are good, but hopefully we become good because we experience love. But how do we, like God, embrace indiscriminately? How do we let our love shine on the bad as well as the good, without saying that nothing matters? That it is okay to live in any way and do anything. How do we love as God loves and still hold true to who we are and what our values are? We do so by holding our personal and moral ground in a gracious and loving way. And for this we have Jesus' example. He embraced everyone, sinners and saints alike, without ever suggesting that sin and virtue aren't important. Indeed, a truly loving embrace suggests the reverse. I might just add here that in loving someone who we may disagree with and who we know is really living a pretty shady life, one of the rules is always remain civil. And when we look up the word civil in the dictionary, it comes down to the idea of at home. And when I first read that, I couldn't quite understand what it meant, but to be civil means to make others feel at home. And we can move from that idea to Cicero and his advice to his son, Marcus, who he was trying to keep on the straight and the narrow. And there, too, he remarks that his voice should always be harmonious, that we hold a proper decorum. Let us go on now. Let's take an example. This is in regards to someone you don't agree with, but you still embrace. Let's take an example. Imagine that your college-age daughter comes home for a week when, along with her boyfriend. You already know that they are living together, but the awkward question still arises. Do you challenge them to sleep in separate rooms while they are in your house? You do, and your answer is clear. You tell your daughter, gently but unequivocally, that while they are under your roof and unmarried, they will sleep in separate rooms. She objects, That's hypocritical. My values aren't the same as yours, and I don't believe this is wrong in any way. Your response is the non-discriminating, discriminating embrace of Jesus. You hug your daughter and tell her that you love her, that you know that she is already sleeping with her boyfriend, but that she may not do so in your house, under your roof, but that she may not do so in your house. Everything inside your body language, your embrace, and your person will clearly tell her two things. I love you. You're my daughter. I will always love you, no matter what. But I don't agree with you on this matter. Divert from this for a minute, a little side comment. When St. Thomas Aquinas talks about love, he lists a number of qualities that love has: mercy, and joy, peace, and fraternal correction. And another word for that is tough love. And here we have the mother telling the daughter straight out, no, it's wrong. But the way it's said, I love you, I want the best for you, I've got to tell you this squarely. It's wrong. I'm not putting up with it. And that's tough love. And it's also fraternal correction. Very difficult to bring about when your feelings are very negative, yes. But if you can do it out of love, namely, I want the best for you, that will come through your gestures and the tone of voice. And that is what we call tough love at its best. Rollheiser continues, your embrace doesn't say, I agree with you. It simply says, I love you. And the affirmation of your love, even as you hold your personal and moral ground, will, perhaps more than anything else you can offer her, invite her to reflect upon your moral ground and why you hold certain things so deeply. It's interesting when you stand up to a person, you find it very difficult. In fact, you have to have a stomach to do this. And yet, those who have stood up to us and said, hey, you know, you're doing the wrong thing. At the moment, yes, we don't like it, and we might turn on that person. But years later, or sometime later, we reflect and realize that that was our best friend. They told it to us as it should be, squarely. And by the way, in doing this, this is called prudence. One of the qualities of prudence is clear-sightedness. You don't hesitate. You don't blink. You tell it as it is. This kind of embrace, which radiates a wide compassion and understanding, even as it holds your moral ground, is needed not just in families and friendship, but in every area of life: church, moral, ideological, and aesthetic, Catholics and Protestants, evangelicals and Unitarians, Christians and Jews, Jews and Muslims, Christians and Muslims, pro-life and pro-choice, liberals and conservatives, people who have different views on marriage and sexuality, people with classical taste, and people with popular taste. All must find enough compassion and empathy to be able to embrace in a way that expresses love and understanding, even as the embrace does not say that differences are of no importance. There is a time to stand up for what we believe, a time to be prophetic, a time to draw the line in the sand, a time to point out differences and the consequences of that, and a time to stand in strong opposition to values and forces that threaten what we hold dear. But there is also a time to embrace across differences, to recognize that we can love and respect each other even when we don't hold the same values, when what is common to us eclipses our differences. There is a time to be compassionate as God is compassionate, to let our sun shine indiscriminately on both the vegetables and the weeds without denying which is which. And I might just conclude this idea of keeping the door open, especially the door of our heart, and not to let it get so hardened that we are always on edge, always combative, always bellicose, looking for a war because people don't agree with us and we feel they are wrong. And we may be justified in this. But once you begin to take that side where you are warring against another, the door is closed. The dialogue is absent. It can't go on. And as we would say in different languages, pourquoi? What exactly is going to come of this? Why? Why do we maintain and stiffen up? In here, we are reminded, you can get more bees with honey than vinegar. Know how to embrace. The word embrace comes from the word brachium. It means arms. Know how to take a person into your arms, even though you don't agree with them. End of article, end of comments.